Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Head out to the SDCCU hotline, and one of the great broadcasters in the history of San Diego Padres baseball, nice enough to join me on opening day, Mr. Bob Chandler. Bob, how we doing? Happy opening day.
Happy opening day to you, and John, how come it's not a national holiday?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's a national holiday here in San Diego. Everybody's so geeked up about Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis and everything that's going on during the winter with all these youngsters.
Yeah, it is kind of fun, isn't it?
No question about it. Hey, Bob, before we get into breaking down this ball club and get your thoughts, and I know you went out to spring training a couple of different times, I want to track back to when Bob Chandler made his opening day debut as a Padre broadcaster. What year and where were you at when you did it?
Well, it was 1972, and actually there had been a labor stoppage at the beginning of the season, and so opening day occurred sometime in the middle of April, and a young right-hander named Clay Kirby got his first start. I think Eric Lauer is the youngest starter on opening day since Kirby.
That is correct. The Padres win that day?
They did. They beat the Atlanta Braves at San Diego Stadium, and Kirby got the win, which was at that time was a dream of his. They called him the Kid because he was only like 18 or 19 when he started with the Padres.
Bob Chandler joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. Well, you went over to spring training a couple of times, and you and I have talked on the phone. You're pretty impressed with this young talent, aren't you?
You know, John, I've been to every Padre spring training. I've seen the good teams, and I've seen the bad teams as they were being formed. But in my honest opinion, in terms of overall talent, this is the most talented group of players I've ever seen in a Padre spring training camp, and I judge that in several ways. One, you know, when they split their squad, so you have one team playing one area, one team maybe playing in Peoria, and both lineups for those games are pretty good, you know? And so you figure if you put them together, it's going to be a real good lineup. And when I say overall talent, I'm talking about some of the really young guys. They've got a 19-year-old kid named Hudson Potts. Boy, was I impressed with him. He was a shortstop taken, I believe, in the second round a couple of years ago. He was like Tatis. He was only 17 years old then. But I saw him hit a ball. I mean, it's 410 feet to dead center field in Peoria, and there's a 50-foot-high batter's eye. And he hit a home run that cleared that batter's eye in dead center field. I've only seen a few of those over the last 25 years in Peoria. The kid's only 19 years old.
You know, Bob, we were talking with Josh Stein here when we let off the show. And, you know, this is the first time in a long time where the Padres have actually had to make some really, really difficult decisions on not only who's going to start in the opening day lineup, but the guys that are going to make the roster and the guys that are going to go down to AAA. And I got to be honest, I know a lot of the arms that are going down to the minor leagues. I mean, they're well-stocked. If somebody were to go down, especially in the bullpen, they got four or five, six guys they could bring up.
I'm just waiting for this kid, I think he's at Double-A this year, who throws, I saw him in an All-Star game, an Arizona Fall League All-Star game. He threw up to 104 miles an hour.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's unbelievable. I think it'll be interesting to see how Lauer responds today. I mean, you're going to have a packed house here at Petco Park. You're going against the Giants, Madison Bumgarner. I would imagine that young kid's going to have his nerves are going to be working pretty good early in this ball game.
You know, he wouldn't be human if he didn't have some nerves. And I saw him pitch a game over there in spring training where he pitched four almost perfect innings. The only reason it wasn't perfect, he threw a pitch that nicked the jersey of a hitter, so that was a hit batsman, but he then got the next out. You know, they were working on him in the backfields on his slider because he needed another pitch, and I think they kind of saved him, and then all of a sudden he pitched in this Cactus League game and was perfect for four innings. And you look at his overall numbers in the spring, I can see why they chose him to be the opening day pitcher. Based on the numbers, he's really been the most effective pitcher.
You know what'll be interesting, I think, Bob, and again, they've got a lot of young guys in this rotation, Lucchesi, Paddock, you know, we'll see what direction they go with some of the other starters. Matt Strom, who's making the conversion from, you know, the bullpen to the starting rotation as well. I would imagine all these guys are going to be on some kind of innings limitation this year.
Yeah, they want to preserve their arms. I mean, a couple of them are coming off Tommy John surgeries, and they're young. Matt Strom, who pitched in the bullpen last year and put up eye-popping numbers, really, in terms of number of hits he allowed and innings pitched and the number of strikeouts he had. But they always viewed him as a starter, and now he's getting his chance. You know, of the pitchers I saw in spring training, the two that have the most stuff, in my view, are Chris Paddock, the rookie right-hander who's making his major league start, I believe, on Sunday, and then Matt Strom, the left-hander. Now we know about Joey Lucchesi and Eric Lauer. They pitched last year. We've seen them. They're the most experienced starters, and neither one of them has a full year of major league experience. Now, if there was one disappointment, it was near the end, one of the final exhibition games, when both Logan Allen and Cal Quantrill pitched in the game, and neither one of them was able to complete an inning. And I think they were both pitching for the to be the number five starter. So that was a little disappointing.
Bob Chandler joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. Coach John Couture broadcasting from J Street. So if you're out and about, stop on by. You're coming out to the ballpark today.
For sure. I mean, I haven't missed one. I go back to the very first year, 1969. I actually go back further than that because I used to go to the opening games for the Pacific Coast League Padres.
Hey, I want to ask you, I think it was 1974, Ray Kroc, when he got on the microphone, you were in the broadcast booth that night, correct?
Yeah, Jerry Coleman and I were doing the game, and I'll never forget, Jerry said, hey, Bob, looks like our new owner, Ray Kroc, is going on the public address. Let's see if we can pick up what he has to say. And what he had to say made history.
Don't know. Go ahead and tell the fans.
Well, the Padres had opened the season in Los Angeles and got blown out three in a row by the Dodgers. So now they come home, and their first home game is against the Houston Astros, and they're getting blown out again. And so in the middle of the game, not sure it was the fifth inning, seventh inning, whatever, John D'Amato was the public address announcer, made the announcement that Ray Kroc would like to address the crowd. So Ray gets on the PA microphone and he says, well, fans, I suffer with you. And I'll tell you why in a moment. And the fans groan. He says, but I have good news and I have bad news. And the good news is we drew 37,000 people for our home opener, more than the Dodgers did for their home opener. And everybody cheered. Because in 1974, I mean, the Padres' best season attendance until 1974 was 611,000. So attendance was an issue. So everybody cheered. And then he said, and the bad news is, this is the stupidest ball playing I've ever seen. But you have to remember what had just happened. Padres are losing big to Houston. They load the bases with one out, and our hitter pops up to first base in foul territory. And Kroc said, I'm taking on nuts. Well, that's only the second out. We still have Nate Colbert coming up. Except our runner at first base, Matty Alou, an 18-year veteran, got doubled off first base on a foul pop-up. He just had a brain cramp and forgot how many outs there were. So that is what just happened. But he said it was the stupidest ball playing he'd ever seen. And then, now you can't make this stuff up, John. Just then, a streaker jumps out of the stands in right field, and he's running across the field. And Ray has that microphone, and he's a Law and Order guy. He's screaming, "Get that man! Get him off the field!" And this is how the Padres began the home portion of the Ray Kroc regime.
And, Bob, it's safe to say Ray Kroc did save baseball here in San Diego at the major league level.
Well, the team was in limbo, you know. And in January, it looked like the Padres in 1974 were going to be operated by the National League because they didn't really have an owner. I mean, see, Arnold Smith was the owner, but he had many, many problems with the law, and he presided over the largest bank failure in the history of the United States, and illegal campaign contributions to President Richard Nixon, and all kinds of stuff like that. So the team was in limbo. And then Ray Kroc's attorney, Don Lubin, he called Buzzy Bavese and said, "You know, Mr. Bavese, I have a client who is interested in purchasing the club." And Buzzy said, "Oh, yes, and who is your client?" He said, "Well, his name is Ray Kroc." Well, Ray is the owner and founder of the McDonald's restaurant chain, but Buzzy didn't know that. He didn't know who Ray Kroc was. And so he asked Lubin, he says, "Well, how does your client propose to pay for the team?" And Lubin says, "Oh, he'll just write a check." And that got Buzzy's attention. He had quickly arranged a meeting between Smith and Ray Kroc, and they consummated the purchase of the team in about 10 minutes.
That's a great story. Bob Chandler joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline as we get ready for Padre baseball. A pregame show with Chris Ello coming up at 12 o'clock. First pitch, 1:10 today. Left-hander Eric Lauer making his the opening day start for the Padres, going against the veteran left-hander Madison Bumgarner. Bob, Eric Hosmer, a down year last year, maybe coming in and trying to do a little bit too much, getting that big contract from the Padres. Your thoughts on what you've seen from Hosmer during spring training?
Well, he's really loose. He's always kind of a friendly, loose guy, and I think you're right. I think coming in last year, I mean, he was the big off-season purchase. He'd come in after helping Kansas City win a couple of world titles, and his defense was fine, but he didn't hit up to his normal numbers. I expect he will come back strong this year. A lot was counted on him last season to provide offense. He and Will Myers. Myers got hurt and missed a lot of the season, and it was all on Eric Hosmer. He didn't have any protection around him in the batting order, and so his home run totals dropped to 17, and he didn't drive in as many runs as usual, but he played most of the games, and he's a heck of a guy. I expect him to bounce back with a big season this year.
He's a really a good guy, and I think a good clubhouse guy, and a guy that probably tried to do a little bit too much in too many different areas, on the field, off the field last year. Also wanted to get your thoughts on Ian Kinsler. Here's a guy that's been around. He's won a World Series last year after coming over from the Angels to the Red Sox. He won a Gold Glove last year, played in a couple of other World Series with the Texas Rangers, really had an incredible career. How important is it to have a veteran in the clubhouse along with a guy like Hosmer that's been there and done that before?
Yeah, well, it's huge. Of course it's huge. It's because there are a lot of young players on this team, a lot of them. Now, eventually, Luis Urias is going to take over at second base, and he's a youngster with a lot of ability. I guess he's going to start the season at AAA. But think about it. You've got three Gold Glovers in your infield. Machado at third, Hosmer at first, Kinsler at second, and the shortstop is Fernando Tatis Jr., one of the most talented young players in terms of tools I've ever seen. I don't know about you, John, but last year I thought Freddie Galvis, the shortstop, was the team's most valuable player. He played every game. He made every play. Just a really solid player. But then I look at Fernando Tatis, who's taking his place, and I'm thinking, you know, Tatis has a lot more range than Galvis did. He's got a much stronger arm. He runs faster than Galvis did. In fact, he's one of the fastest runners on the team, and he's a much better hitter with a lot more power. So you're getting a guy whose tools are all far superior to Freddy Galvis. Now, I think he'll probably make more errors than Galvis did. Galvis was a solid old pro, but he'll also make spectacular plays that we haven't seen at shortstop in a long time.
Bob, I agree with you on everything regarding the breakdown of Galvis compared to Tatis, and I also definitely agree with you. I thought he was the Padres' most valuable player last year, not only on the field and what he brought daily at the shortstop position. He came up with some big hits throughout the course of the year, but he also did a really good job, I think, in that clubhouse mentoring a lot of the young Latin players, which is very, very important when these guys are, you know, kind of being exposed to the United States maybe for the very first time.
Yeah, you know, and he wanted to play every game. He said, hey, I have a lot of time to rest in the offseason. I want to play every game. Maybe a little bit to his detriment, because I don't care who you are, every now and then you need a day off, but he didn't take any. He wanted to play every game.
Hey, Bob, I want to ask you about the loss of Travis Jankowski. For me, and you watch every game, whether you're here or on television or listening on radio, I think in a lot of ways this is a really key loss, because this guy can help you win ball games in a variety of different ways.
You know, and it may explain, John, why the Padres picked up Brito yesterday from the Arizona Diamondbacks. He can really run. He's got terrific speed, and he's a left-handed batter. I haven't seen him play enough to really know, but I know he has those tools. Jankowski probably is not an everyday player in the major leagues right now, but boy, you can put him in at any of the outfield positions, and it improves you defensively at those positions. He's their most aggressive base stealer. He's a very good base runner, and the kind of guy that does help you win games over the course of the season. I fully agree with you on that. Hopefully, he'll be back around midseason.
You know, I think one of the keys for this Padre ball club, Will Myers, number one's got to stay healthy, but number two, he has to kind of live up to, live up to what people think he can be, because last year he could never really find his stroke.
You know, and maybe the Padres asked him to be something he wasn't, you know, when they acquired him. They wanted him to be the face of the franchise, to be a leader. Will Myers is a fun guy, and he's got loads of talent, but I'm not sure that he's that natural leader type. You know, sometimes you can't just anoint a guy a leader and expect him to be that, you know. But what he is a really good player, and he can steal bases, he can hit for power, he can play a lot of positions. Third base is not one of them that's very good, but he's a decent outfielder. They'd like him to improve his defense in center field, so maybe against certain left-handed pitchers you could play both Hunter Renfroe and Franmil Reyes in the outfield. Boy, that would be a power-laden outfield.
Yeah, today they're going to go with Myers, Margot, and Reyes. Reyes will play right field, Myers over and left, and of course Margot going to play center. Bob, what's realistic record-wise, you think, for this ball club? I mean, the enthusiasm right now with all these young guys and the signing to Manny Machado, people are so fired up, and they're so fired up down here leading up to this ball game today. What would be, in your eyes, a guy that's been there, done that for a long time, what would be a realistic goal for this ball club this year?
Well, in my opinion, the starting eight that they put on the field is good enough to compete with anybody, and they have some pretty good reserves. But let's face it, the pitching right now is too young and inexperienced at the major league level to really make a run at the pennant. Not to say that those guys don't have the talent to do it, they just don't have the experience yet, and it's going to be fun to watch them develop. How fast they develop and who they come up with as their number five starter, because I think the bullpen is good, will determine how well they do in terms of wins and losses. I would rate them, by opinion, third in the division right now behind the Dodgers and the Colorado Rockies. I think if they're a 500 team this year, think about it. That would be an improvement of 15 wins over last year. But more important than that final one-loss record, and of course that is the goal, they're going to try to win every game, is to watch the development of this team overall, because you're watching a team, as Manny Machado put it in the paper this morning, is, quote, this team is going to be good for a very long time, and this is just the start of it.
What we like to hear. Bob, as always, thanks so much for the time. I can't wait to share a hot dog with you in the press box one of these nights.
Listen, one of my joys in life is talking baseball with you, John, because you're really into it. And for me, what the heck, it's been my whole life professionally in San Diego, and I love the game.
I appreciate that, Bob. See you soon.
Okay, buddy.
There you go, Bob Chandler, one of the great voices in the history of San Diego Padres baseball, joining us on 97.3 The Fan's SDCCU fan hotline.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.